Okay, everybody ready? Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the May 20th meeting of the Portland City Council. Would you please call the roll?
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Novick.
Here.
Fritz.
Here.
Hales.
Here. Welcome, everyone. We have some proclamations and communications up front, and then we'll get to the regular council calendar after that. First, I'm very happy to begin with a proclamation about a really important part of our community. Joe, why don't you come on up? Ms. Joe Wall is going to be leading a little bit of a presentation. It says, whereas the city of Portland is proud of its diversity and draws strength from the rich cultures and traditions of all community members, and whereas Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month is an opportunity for all individuals and organizations to recognize the contributions of Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders to the cultural, civic, and economic life of Portland for over 150 years, and whereas the Asian American and Pacific Islander community is comprised of many languages and ethnicities, and their vibrant history ought to be shared with all Portlanders. Now, therefore, I, Charlie Hales, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim May 2015 to be Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month in Portland and encourage all residents to observe this month. So let's hear it for that important part of our community. Thank you. Welcome. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Mayor Hales and members of council. Joe Wall with the Office of Equity and Human Rights. I guess I'm the designated spokesperson for this reading of the proclamation. I want to thank all of the members of the community for having come out to help us to celebrate this proclamation. Each May, our nation and our city come together to celebrate the contributions and honor the sacrifices made by Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders to help forge our country and shape our great city. We're reminded that over 170 years ago, Japanese immigrants first set foot on American shores and opened a path for millions more. We remember 1869 when Chinese workers laid the final ties of the Transcontinental Railroad after years of backbreaking labor, a railroad that they would later not be allowed to even ride on. And we remember Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders who have made our country and our city bigger and brighter again and again, from Native Hawaiians who continue to deal with the devastating impacts of the overthrow of their monarchy, to the generations of more recent immigrants who shaped our history, reaching and sweating and striving to give their children something more. Their story is the American story, and this month we honor them all. Here in Oregon, Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders labored in and helped shape some of our most important industries, including logging, fishing, agriculture, and business, as well as helping to facilitate and grow our international trade. I'm personally reminded of the heroic contributions of great Asian American civic leaders like Bill Nadeau, without whose vision we would not have streetcars, the Skidmore Fountain, or the Japanese American Historical Plaza, or of local treasures like Robert Morase, who was known worldwide as a visionary leader in the landscape architecture profession, who, like Bill, left us way too soon. This month, we honor and celebrate the contributions of Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders, past and present, and look forward to their continued contribution to this country and our great city, and to remember that while prosperity is coming to many, that there are those who still suffer and are not sharing in this prosperity. So let us keep in mind something that PolicyLink CEO Angela Glover Blackwell said so eloquently, that when we lift up the most vulnerable in our society, everyone benefits. Thank you for this proclamation.
Thank you very much. And I'd love to invite our community leaders who are here to come up and take a picture with the City Council. That would be an honor for us. So thank you.
Show.
Thank you all very much. Okay, we have some communications items and then another proclamation, so let's take item 488, please.
488, request of Michael Chappie Grice to address council regarding the 2015 Alberta Street project.
Grice, come on up. Yes, please. Good morning.
Good morning.
And would you like Mr. Zybach to come up with you?
And Mr. Zybach and Mr. Giese.
Okay, please, if they could. Yeah, just read those other two, please, Sue. They're all here on the same subject.
And that's request of on number 489 and 490, request of Bob Zybach, request of Wayne R. Giese regarding the 2015 Alberta Street project.
Welcome. Good morning.
I will first acknowledge Asian American Pacific Islander Month and your declaration. We've enjoyed Black History Month and the Martin Luther King holiday and understand the importance of that particular recognition for that community.
Thank you.
These remarks are published for you as well. Some I were able to drop off, and so hope that you can follow along. I'll just stick to my time and read it. Good morning and greetings, Mr. Mayor and Commissioners. Thank you for your service and for your early scheduling of our presentation. As you may know, we are planning to attend Lou Frederick's tribute ceremony at the Oregon Legislature later this morning to Tuskegee Airman Carl Diaz. Of course, you know that we are teaching aviation to fifth and sixth graders at Portland Community College and are in league with the Atlanta chapter of Tuskegee Airmen. The Northeast Alberta Street Project sits amid the many meritorious causes that I've heard you entertain at the community meetings at Floyd Light and George Middle Schools. Northeast Alberta Street, from its early days when its trolley rolled and sounded its bells, to the mid-60s and 70s when it was teeming with Negro citizens and a diverse population, to its current state of postmodern business bonanza and arts mecca status, Alberta Street represents one of the most important historic places and historic opportunities in the city. Were it not for the influence of my mentor, Congressman Augustus F. Hawkins, who has fueled my 46 years in public education and who authored the Civil Rights Act, the Voting Rights Act, and the Title I law, and were it not for the fact that the research study that we are proposing and that you have before you has already been done in 1992, giving it a good chance for success this time around, and the recommendations in particular that are on the inside cover. And if it weren't for the support of Police Chief O'Day, who can see the connection between youth employment and saving lives, even the lives of officers on duty, and if it weren't for the advocacy of Mr. Ben Berry, one of the brightest men in the city has ever been fortunate to have on its payroll, and from Superintendent Carol Smith, the advocacy of PDC and the good offices of Tiffany Pinson, if it weren't for the steady champion of the esteemed entrepreneur broker Sam Brooks, if it weren't for the letter to the mayor from Ralph Evans and the Coalition of Black Men, who are here today with us, detailing the multiple ways that this project serves the objectives of the National League of Cities and the Black Male Achievement Initiative, especially employment. And let me interrupt to say that when I left San Francisco, a group of mothers are convened monthly there. It's called the Healing Circle. All of those women's sons have been murdered. And they say nothing stops a bullet like a job. If it weren't for laying this Alberta Street project alongside those other meritorious projects and seeing the options being more applied technology, more relevant to a specific section of the city, more benefit to a target population, more honor to the residents and the businesses on Alberta, particularly the longstanding businesses, and if it weren't for the potential to offer solutions to compelling disparities on every metric affecting those young people with the greatest need, we could afford to abandon this effort. But we can't. This is the first time that I've come before the City Council in my 68 years. I want to stress the importance of that, and I want to appeal to you with logic and reason, but more with common sense and opportunity to deliver on a commitment to see this through, to replicate a study that has proven success and express what President Barack Obama has expressed in his book, The Audacity of Hope. Hope is the only bee that makes honey without any flowers. Nothing stops a bullet like a job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Zyback?
First, I'd like to say go Generals. And next, I'd like to thank Carla Lovemore and Sue Parsons and John Shalpert for making this possible. Mr. Mayor and Commissioners, we've both Michael Grice and I have appeared before you before during the public meetings for the $31 million, and we are making the same request that we've made for some time. We would really like to have that money as startup that would guarantee that we would be able to employ 16 students this summer. So that's the first thing we're asking for.
Not all 31 million.
Not all 31. Just a small fraction. $20,000, and we could be off and running. The second thing is we would like to have some connection with the city, an ombudsman or somebody in that position that could explain to us how to work with the city. Both Mr. Giese and I are from out of town, and Michael is busy with lots of other work, and we've been confused at times. We've done our best, but we've dealt with different committees and different groups, and we could have been a lot more efficient if we'd just had somebody that could have pointed the way for us. So startup capital, a guiding light, and then the third thing I would like to ask the commissioners, what we really need is good connections to the Portland business community. We're looking to create jobs for kids I shouldn't say kids, I should say young adults, 16 to 22 years of age. They need to be connected to business leaders in the community. Business leaders looking for diversity employment need to be connected to young adults that are being exposed to the very types of technical and communications opportunities that we're offering. These students will be working with the latest technology, with the latest individuals in the community, and so we need to be connected to technology companies that you may be aware of, Google, Apple, Intel, HP, and we need to be connected to employers that are looking for a diverse workforce. We are connected to students thanks to Mr. Grice and his outreach in the communities, and so that's all we're asking. your individual support and assistance, somebody to guide the way for us, and $20,000 out of $31 million. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Giese?
Good morning. Mayor Hales, members of the commission, my name's Wayne Giese. I'm kind of an old cuss. I'm 95 years old, so I'll give you a little bit of my background. I served in the legislature in 1955 and 57, and you might wonder why I'm interested in the city of Portland. And before 1930, I went to Ockley Green grade school, so I have some feeling for this city. I'm here to support these two men in their project. I've worked with them since the first Alberta Street project, and there's no two men in Oregon that are more dedicated to do something for these people than these two men that I'm sitting with. I think Michael Grice is, or Chappie as I know him, really outstanding in education, and Bob Zyback is noted in forestry, and for his PhD, he was probably one of the first students from Oregon State that has an environmental science PhD. So these men are two people that you can depend on to really do a project and to make it come out right. I've probably worked for over 35 years in the timber industry, attempting to get a federal forest management plan that provides jobs, and it leads right into what Chappie said. There's nothing better to stop a bullet than a job. And so I can't impress hard enough that these are important things. The three of us are also working and have opened discussion with Oregon State University to open student programs in forestry, in the College of Forestry, for the black students that would come from this area. So I guess you can say I'm dedicated to jobs, and I thank you for allowing me to have this time.
Well, thank you all for coming, and it just is a kind of a sweet coincidence that we have all these students from Grant and our superintendent here today, hearing some volunteers in the community come forward and talk about how to connect young people to work. So I bet it's encouraging for them to hear that it's not just their teachers that care about their future. So appreciate you all very much being here today.
I'll take this occasion to salute President, Principal Campbell and Carol Smith for her leadership and the students. Bob Zybak and I met on a wrestling mat in 1962 at Grant High School. So we've got some.
Who won?
It was a draw.
One last quick thing. We gave you these reports today from 1992, but the recommendation on the inside cover is a summary that we just put together. And think if we'd listened to our children with what they had to say in 1992, where that neighborhood would be today, and think what the kids today or the young adults today could produce. That's what we're trying to achieve here.
Thank you very much. Thank you. We'll follow up with you. Thank you so much. Okay. Item 491, please.
491, request of Trina Sutton to address council regarding homeless rest area in Multnomah County.
Good morning.
Good morning, Amanda. I probably can't add on to that quote about nothing stops a bullet better than a job, but I'm going to tell you what. I have been working with the homeless population in the Southeast for several years. I've been training at Right to Dream 2, which I'm so grateful for, because I'm going to tell you what. I know my people. I may be a little bit teary now because we lost another one yesterday. People are going to look at him and say he was just a homeless drug addict. Well, I'm going to tell you something about Dan. He volunteered to do food boxes for 11 years at Clackamas Service Center where I work. He was a veteran of the Gulf War. He's been sober for over a decade. Being diabetic, the homeless lifestyle, You eat bread, you eat white bread, your body can't take it. For people to learn how to thrive, to get out of survival mode and get into prosperity mode, they need to have a hand up, not a hand out. I've been working on the concept, we call it my backyard, which is a poke in the eye to the NIMBY, not in my backyard mentality. If people could know the folks like I know, they are not waste of skin, they are not lazy. They are good, decent people that do need help. My backyard is designed to partner with many, many people, many agencies, to get them into a place of safety where they won't be beaten, where they won't, there's no drugs or alcohol allowed in. We have 24-hour security, just like at Right to Dream 2. And these folks can come in, and they are required to work on whatever it was that made them homeless in the first place. That could be drug and alcohol addiction. That could be losing your job. It could be domestic violence. But it gives them a safe place to go. And I really want to thank the mayor's office. I worked with Josh Albert. I worked with Jillian. I am just so impressed with you, Mayor Hales, at your progressive policies in dealing with this. I can tell you're a mayor and a council that actually cares. What we're asking for is, I've got a lawyer, three lawyers that have volunteered on my team. We're working for a 501c3 status. We're going to be under somebody else's umbrella, but we need startup money. But I have given the mayor's office the documentation to show that putting a person in a transitional, and I will call it a camp because it's just transitional, and giving them safety will allow them to take care of whatever is needed, which could be schooling, so they can go into more traditional housing. But if you put people from the street that have lived in survival mode for so long right into housing, you're setting them up for failure. I'm literally begging people for help. We can save the city and county millions of dollars. It's been proven over the years. They've estimated $14,000 per homeless person. And if you get them the help that they need, traditional housing into housing, it will be half that cost. And that's just temporary cost. I just would beg you, please, to consider this. Like I say, I'm so grateful to Josh, but my folks cannot take another winter out there. It is horrible out there. And I would just hope that all of you would please understand this. And I want to thank Amanda especially. She has just been wonderful. She's a very big champion for all her constituents, and that's to be applauded. I talked to Commissioner Saltzman about domestic violence issues. He was so wonderful, just that one meeting. But he really cares about what happens to victims of domestic violence. So I just want to thank you so much.
Thank you. Well, thanks for your advocacy, and we look forward to working with you as a partner.
Thank you, Mayor Hill.
Morning. Thank you. You're here. Okay, item 492.
492, request of Lightning Watchdog X to address council regarding surplus property reform.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Lightning. I represent Watchdog X. An issue that still concerns me is on the surplus properties. Again, I'd like to see policies in place that require a licensed broker to do any transaction on any surplus property pertaining to the City of Portland and or have a up-to-date appraisal that the public can review upon the sale to make sure that we are in a market range of what the property should sell for based upon a legitimate appraisal and or a licensed broker's opinion and analysis. Why I say that is the public deserves to get the highest price on any property. These properties tend upon the sale to go back into the individual bureaus and or general fund. Again, that also benefits the overall services throughout the city. I will not change my position on this until I see licensed brokers and or up-to-date appraisals on these properties. I've talked to a very respected broker, Jennifer Medick, from Norris Beggs and Simpson. I have talked to her on this issue extensively. She agrees with me on this and would like to see licensed brokers brought in and begin to market these properties more effectively to make sure that we get the proper exposure on a global basis to get the highest values on these properties, which in turn helps the public as far as having to come up with additional money. Again, I'd like to see certain surplus properties put back on the open market. As you know, Mayor Hales, you made some great improvements on the urban renewal properties coming back on the market, on the tax base. If you start to look at the surplus properties, we have, my understanding, close to $35 billion in capital assets. We have a lot of surplus properties sitting out there that we are not utilizing. Again, when we have them sitting out there like that, we are not getting taxes off of these properties. When we put those back on the market upon a sale with a reputable broker, we don't only get the highest value for that property that's sitting idle, we also begin to get tax revenue. And people need to understand that 2017, we're looking at the PERS issue again on the COLA that's going to be recalculated, and we better start looking at that very close at this time. So any property that goes down to the open market, I will be watching very closely, and that goes to any nonprofit. Also, I would like to have the nonprofits go to certain foundations, get the money, come back and pay fair market value to the city. You do not have enough money to be giving these properties away at no dollars. We have too much debt, and I want this to be looked at very close. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Okay, let's move on